Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. I'm Shelby Varner. December 15th, 2021, Kansas experienced the Four County Fire. And in to talk about it today is Kansas Farm Bureau employee Brendan Worth, who also serves on the Kansas Wildfire Task Force. Brendan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Shelby.
Brendan, to get us started, as someone who saw coverage of the wildfires taking place and then going out into that area, what was your initial reaction to not only what you saw, but what the atmosphere felt like?
I actually arrived in Paradise at the United Methodist Church there, which became kind of the central operations and command and control center for the fires the day after December 15th on December 16th. And I can tell you, not only did you get a sense of total devastation, you could smell it. The fire encompassed around 160,000 acres at that point. And they fought fires for 7 days after that within that community, along with what they fought on December 15th with 100 mile per hour winds. So devastation, uncertainty, a lot of reaction to what's next. What do we have? What are the pieces we have to pick up this minute, and then 5 minutes from now, and then 2 hours from now, and then over the next 2 years? You really try to manage these crises, is what I saw from local law enforcement to local emergency management to local firefighter responses to local relief efforts of, we know we need this minute. We're not sure what we need in an hour from now. And it was amazing to see those folks go into operation and the communities to come together to try to figure that out.
You talk about picking up those pieces. What were some of the key things you saw people doing to pick them up?
Well, the biggest challenge in a crisis like that is trying to identify those who are affected. You've got all this resources out there, whether it be statewide volunteer, local volunteer, firefighter resources. You know you've got people affected because you've heard that cattle have either died or without hay or are lost because of the smoke, or they wandered off and you need to gather. So who needs what attention and when? So one of the first things that I was a part of is helping develop the list of affected people. So we could start reaching out and say, what do you need? And how can we connect all the dots of the people offering hay, horses, corrals, water troughs, all the things that you can't imagine the burn up in a fire, but you still need every day to keep cattle alive, to start comforting families. They've lost their homes, all the things that you need to put a farm back together just to operate for the next day, knowing that the farm still has to go on. You still have to keep what livestock you do have left still has to be fed, watered, and cared for, and as long with your family.
What does it look like out there now over a year later from those fires?
Well, I was actually just through there a few weeks ago, and I have a few spots I drive to specifically that are off the beaten path just to get a sense of what the grass looks like, what's kind of been rebuilt. There's a couple homes out of the 26 that have been rebuilt, but really a majority are still trying to figure out a plan. The struggles have been two things: drought, the grass in that area has been long-term impacted. Granted, yes, it was a fire, and sometimes fire can be very valuable in managing pasture systems, but a fire of that intense heat followed by a drought, it's that the regrowth has not occurred as fast as what I think we all were hoping for in that area. And then supply chain issues. It's been really tough for some folks to try to figure out how to rebuild when there are certain things in your rebuilding process you're not able to get a hold of and rebuild in a timely capacity. You know, one of the first things we realized was there's a tremendous barbed wire and fence post shortage, and miles of fence that were destroyed, hundreds of miles, literally. You know, you need a lot of that and need it fast, and how you locate that. So all those supply chain issues have kind of fed into, I think a lot of folks are hoping they'd be further along rebuilding than where they were. It doesn't look the same. It never will look the same. But I also know several folks have taken the opportunity, as tragic as it was, to look back on how their systems were set up. It's an opportunity to take a fresh look. If I'm going to rebuild, how would I rebuild it? And to either modernize it or make it more efficient for my operation, my systems, my community, all those things. So in those kinds of devastating things that happen, we also look at the opportunity to rebuild more efficiently and effectively.
As these fires took place, how did Kansas Farm Bureau support those after the fires?
Well, our network kicked in like it always does. It's a wonderful network across 105 counties and 50 states across America. And it was really overwhelming in some context to see the outreach in agriculture into the communities of those affected, from people states and hundreds of miles away, willing to donate their time, talent, and treasure to want to give just folks that they know, that or they may not know them, that know that they're suffering and want to be able to help out. Most of what happened in the initial phases were just a coordination. You had local folks offer places to drop hay and then load it back to disseminate. You had folks that were, you know, if you were to drop bottled water or water troughs or those types of things, that, you know, livestock owners, anything from feed, pellets, protein, clothes. There was initial coordinated effort by the local emergency management, Extension, Paradise United Methodist Church, and several local community organizations to try to figure out, you know, where can people drop things off? We're still trying to figure out what people need. And then somewhat, you know, try to get that out to folks. I remember a specific time where we were needing some water tanks. And it turns out, you know, we couldn't find any, but over a few hour time, we figured out there was like three of them sitting in Russell. Somebody just recently dropped off. And how you connect all those dots, because you need a water tank, you need it right now. You don't need it in 2 days. And so just coordinating all that, lots of moving parts, lots of pieces, but it's amazing to see how the volunteers and individuals showed up. Now, Kansas Farm Bureau's role really went just along with helping put that network together. And it moves in stages. Initially, it's taking care of the livestock, and then it's burying the livestock that was deceased. So there's a process of digging pits, putting out notification to dig safe, putting out, you know, make sure when you're digging these pits, you're not really causing other problems down the line, and then finding people. And, you know, I was a part of a couple different systems where we volunteers to help drag deceased livestock in and use loaders. It's a pretty impactful event. It's something you see and you don't ever want to see it again, mostly just on the faces of the people it impacted. These are scars that they'll carry with them for many years to come. This is, you understand that building a livestock herd is more than just building blocks. It is genetics, it is time, it is passion and love for the animals, and to see those be buried in a pit, and how do you even approach the concept of starting over is a tough place to be emotionally and financially.
Brendan, you mentioned that this is something you hope you never see again. And while we all hope that, it's probably unfortunately not true. Governor Laura Kelly created the Wildfire Task Force in 2022. Can you talk about what the purpose of that task force is?
Well, the task force has three areas that they're focused on, and it's prevention of potential wildfires, response to the wildfires when they happen, and then relief once they've occurred. Obviously, you know, the prevention phase, we're seeing more wildfires. We've seen three major wildfires occur in the last several years, over 10,000 acres, Starbuck, Anderson Creek, and now what's being called the Four County Fire, which actually that Four County Fire happened in several more counties. Just the largest acreage impacted was in Russell, Osborne, Ellis, and Rooks County. So we know through data, we're historically seeing larger fires happening. And so, and the mitigation is really where we spent a lot of our time on the task force so far, and we've not completed our work, focusing on what it looks like to, what are communities, land management systems, government organizations, what can we do as a state to bring awareness and then action to how do we put in place preventative measures to keep these from happening when we see 100 mile per hour sustained winds. Some of that's not controllable. Our infrastructure is not necessarily built to withstand that. And it would be very financially burdensome to try to prepare our infrastructure for those kind of weather events. But at some point you have to take, what other preventative things can we manage financially responsibly to do that? The response effort is a place in the wildfire task force that we've got quite a few members of the firefighting community. What assets are available once a fire starts? How do you manage that? What's the data look like so we know how much wildfires are actually occurring in Kansas? There's, you know, we know they happen, and We have about 16,000 firefighters in the state of Kansas. About 13,000 of those are volunteer firefighter systems in about 640 departments across Kansas. 90% of Kansas is covered by volunteer firefighters. I greatly appreciate my folks where I live and try to help support their pancake feed, hamburger feed, whatever it is their firefighters are raising money for. But I think that volunteer capacity, like any other community, gets limited, and we need to figure out better ways to support them to make, ensure that they're there, what resources they have when they show up at the fire station, they have the right equipment, the right communication tools, and the right support to be able to go and stop it. Because you get some of the weather events that we have, I'm shocked this fire, given the conditions it had. And if it wasn't for some really brave men and women in firefighting, this fire would have been even more devastating. But they've made some unbelievable sacrifices and were able to get it stopped when it did. And on the relief front, third area that the Wildfire Task Force is focused on, through these three large fires, and we see an influx of things and people and stuff there, what's the systems that we have locally to help? Are we prepared to manage those? You don't want to turn away all these wonderful gratitude of people across the state and country and communities to give you these things. But I can tell you, the first scenario we ran into is we still had fires burning. We were bringing hay in to a community that still had fires, that we fought fires for 5 days. If you've rid a lamp, if you've ever seen a round bale light on fire, it doesn't go, it takes a few days to get it out. So the last thing you want to do is bring hay into an area that's already dry and cause more fires and cause more problems, unintended consequences. So how you manage that relief and how we work with our local emergency management folks to, if this were to ever happen in our community, what's our plan? Where's our hay drops? Who's going to be the command and control system for relief? What communities are equipped for these things? There's lots of systems out there that we need to think through. And I look forward to that conversation as we kind of finish up the task force's work here.
Would you consider the Fork County Fire to sort of be the trigger to having a task force like this created?
Absolutely. Again, this is a trend that we're seeing. The Fork County Fire brought another data point of over 10,000 acre fire that I think brings the realization that, are we using all the resources within the state of Kansas and our communities to either prevent this and how we respond to it and then provide relief once it happens? I can tell just remembering the looks on the faces of the folks that were impacted by this. I appreciate Governor Kelly's desire and Secretary Beam, who chairs the task force's commitment to trying to figure out what pieces can we put in place to keep as much of this from happening. And when it does happen, be as responsive and as efficient as we can when it does. I don't know that we're ever going to really prevent wildfires, but we can do things to try to limit them and be better responsive.
And Brendan, what would you like to tell people who may experience these scenarios or have loved ones or want to support people in these scenarios of wildfires?
Well, I will tell you my greatest takeaway from the whole situation over the past year. I was recently at the Russell County Farm Bureau annual meeting and shared this with this group, is I am so proud to live in the community of agriculture that we live in. I saw people reach out and offer a hand that they didn't have to do. They were offering things, their time and money. And remember, this happened December 15th. This was right before Christmas, over the New Year's. You know, folks were still trying to figure out, where am I going to keep my cattle? Am I going to ship them somewhere else? Who's going to take care of them? Where am I going to get my hay? Not just for this next 3 days, but for the next 4 or 5 months before grass comes, if it rains. You saw an outpouring of community of people across agriculture and come together and say, how can I help you? Not just today, but for the next 6, 8 months, year, whatever it takes to get you back on your feet so you can get your operation and your family and your living situation, whatever is put back together. We have tremendous communities. We should be very proud of that. And we owe a great, there's a lot of gratitude to be shared to folks that will go, a lot of them nameless, of their anonymity of gratitude that they've shared with folks in these unfortunate situations.
Brendan, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about the Fork County Fire that happened just over a year ago.
Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. Folks, have any other comments they'd like to submit to the task force, they can go to the Kansas Department of Agriculture's website. There's still a public input link, and they can follow the task force work through there. And hopefully sometime in the next near future, we'll have some report put out. Thank you very much, Shelby.
That was Kansas Farm Bureau employee Brendan Wirth, who also serves on the Kansas Wildfire Task Force. If you would like to read more on this topic, you can go to kansaslivingmagazine.com and search for Kansas Farmers and Ranchers Remain Resilient After Wildfire. I'm Shelby Varner, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.